This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast, I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. Like the staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Stepping in your Air Max. Bounce. Cocking it back, but where that?
Bounce.
I got a six pack of Heineken and big cap on the wheels and two laps. I give Stella a cool back. My middle name must be fuck you. Cause every time I walk by, niggas be like, fuck you. I'll be there. My first name must be he ain't shit. Cause every time I'm in the car, bitches be like, he ain't shit. I'll be there.
I heard the party going on in here. So let me shake my stinking ass in here. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy Jedi Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill with me, listen to my random ramblings. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Man, gotta apologize for being late this week. You know, just life been lifing. It's been moving at light speed for me recently, just a lot going on. Not much that I could really complain about, just been a lot going on. So, but I had to get this episode out because, you know, consistency is key. And, you know, I don't like leaving y'all without new content. You know, if it's a Monday, you're supposed to get an episode for me. So I do apologize for that. But I didn't want the week to go by without talking to you good people. Anyway, man, I had to start with that one first and foremost because, you know, I caught a lot of shit from my so-called friends, from people that, you know, I trust, I love, that, you know, I spend a lot of time, you know, hanging around and socializing with, and we talk about, you know, any and everything. But, you know, I started the new job, and so that means now I got to go someplace and be presentable on a daily basis. So I got out one morning, and, you know, the beard wasn't out of control or anything like that. I just wanted to try to clean it up a little bit, you know, look a little more presentable. I just wanted to, you know, trim it down just a bit, you know, to get rid of some of the unruly scruff and, you know, have it look clean and nice, like I care about myself. And I made the mistake, which I've done on several occasions, of, you know, I have a little, I don't know, beard trimmer or whatever, and it's got like the edge attachment that lets you, you know, edge it up a little bit, and I forget to, like, put that attachment or something away before I try to just like trim it down or something. And so I did that morning, and I went and I took that first swipe, and it just like took a whole clean patch out of the beard. And at that point, it's just like, all right, you gotta just rock it out and do the rest. And so I show up to do a show with my friends, my so-called friends, and I just tell you, I spent the next like 3 hours on camera being called a pedophile and all kinds of things because I shaved my beard off. So, you know, I had to sit there for 3 hours and just like own it. So it was like, you know what? If that's what I'm going to be tonight, then I'll be that. I'll be, and nobody wants to be that. And I don't, it's not cool to be that, but I'm not going to give you the satisfaction unless you're thinking that, you know, you somehow got to me. So that's what you're going to call me today. If that's what I'm going to be today. I've been a coon, Carlton, all that other stuff. I guess, you know, for 3 hours I had to be, you know, John Wayne Gacy or some shit like that. Like, the jokes was getting out of pocket, but it's crazy. But anyway, I still feel, for the most part, I feel extremely blessed recently. Like, you know, life has just been, it's been pretty good. You know, things are going well for me. Opportunities coming out of nowhere. And it just seems to, you know, to keep coming, and I'm trying to take advantage of all of it. And sometimes it's getting a little overwhelming. You know, like I said, I'm late on the episode this week just because I got so much going on. But, you know, those are good problems to have. You know, I think I remember that from The Wire. you know, Marlo talking about, you know, these are those good problems. You know, sometimes, you know, when you run into war or something, it's going to be a lot going on, and that's, you know, it's better for me to have so much going on that, you know, I have to figure out how to juggle things and just be sitting back and being idle. That doesn't work, you know, for my mental health or my sobriety. So, gotta feel blessed. But, you know, with me, I've been doing a lot of rants and things recently. So before I get into why I feel blessed, we got to talk about some of the bullshit that's going on. And that all starts with the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. I love that little girl. I do. I love her. I love her to death. But she's something else. So she's back in town. And we've had, I think, you know, 2 weekends. We had back-to-back weekends with her. And that's been part of, like, the stress. I've been talking to people about, like, getting used to real life adulting. You know, I really thought I was an adult, and I take care of myself, got my own, you know, apartment. I don't want to do all that. Like, I want a cookie for doing, like, normal life stuff. But there was a time where I wasn't doing all of that, or, you know, things weren't as normal in terms of, you know, being a regular adult for me. And so getting back to that space where I'm now self-sufficient again, I'm independent, I can do things. Some of the stuff I'm doing for the first time, you know, driving, you know, finally buying a car and getting out and moving around, you know, these are new things for me. But I thought I had it all together. I thought, you know, I was used to certain things, but just the whole getting this new job, having to drive back and forth to work every day, sit in traffic, and do that every day. And then having, like, back-to-back weekends where I have my daughter, that has been crazy to me. Like, I just exhausted. I don't think I've ever been this tired in my life. So shout out to all of the parents and regular people. I'm a regular person, but I don't even know how to phrase it. But shout out to the people that's doing it every day and doing it with, like, no end in sight. Like, I think the only way I've been able to survive so far, doing these new things and having these new responsibilities, is that, like, I know a break is coming. Like, I know if I just can push through this, there's going to be a weekend that comes where I don't have my daughter and I don't have nothing to do, and I can just veg completely out and chill. And that is, like, I am waiting for it. It ain't coming this week because I'm going to Cleveland for the conference, so I can meet these people that call me a pedophile and see if they got that same energy face to face. It is what it is. But yeah, so anyway, so I had my daughter back-to-back weekends, and just we right back where we left off. So she comes over one weekend, you know, we have our time. We don't do much because, like I said, I'm super tired, but we hang out, we playing Mario Kart, we doing all that good stuff. You know, feels like a great visit, you know, back to daddy-daughter stuff. I felt good about it. So after she leaves, you know, I go up to the room and I'm in here recording and I'm, you know, I'm doing all kinds of stuff, you know, getting back to my normal shenanigans. And apparently she was back to her normal shenanigans. So I go in the bathroom and this time it wasn't just like stuff stuck to the bowl. She had stopped up the toilet. And so, and when I went in and I noticed that, like, the toilet stopped up, like, the first thing that went through my mind was, what did she flush? Like, I'm thinking she must have flushed a toy or something, like, just something. Because it's your 7-year-old sweet little princess. Like, there's no way she dropping these type of bombs that's, like, fucking up the plumbing. Like, it shouldn't be possible. It shouldn't be possible. So I'm like, man, what did she flush? At this point, I can't try to figure it out or search for it because I'm not, you know what I'm saying? It's other stuff in there too. And we're not doing that. And so I had to get the plunger and everything, knock that out, you know, just come to terms with the fact that I'm going to have to change my baby girl's diet because I don't know what it is I'm feeding her. We're going to have to chill with the cereal or the Cap'n Crunch, the Crunch Berries or whatever, because 7-year-old shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, I use that bathroom all the time, and I don't think I've ever, you know, done that to it. And here it is, this little girl, this little precious little girl, just doing horrendous things to my bathroom. And it's like, man, it was just that wake-up call. Like, I missed her. I couldn't wait to see her for us to spend time together. And then, it's like, That's what happens. That's the byproduct of spending time with my little girl. I got to plunge toilets and stuff like that because she doing a little too much. But we got past that. We got past that. And then I got her this weekend. And this weekend was our hair salon trip. So I didn't pick her up on Friday. I had the hair appointment on Saturday. So I got to, you know, her house around 10 o'clock on Saturday morning to pick her up so we could make it down to the hair salon in time. And I go pick her up. She's happy to see me. You know, I was worried because she gets a little nervous. She don't like people messing with her hair. And I think she knew that, you know, this weekend was a hair thing. But she was in good spirits. She was in good spirits. She was happy to see me. She getting her stuff together. She got a fish. So she's showing me her fish. And we getting ready to go. And on the way out, her stepdad stops her and he says to her, what do you tell the ladies at the hair salon when they ask you how you want your hair? And she replied, as if this has been rehearsed, she replied, whatever my daddy paid for. And I was like, my nigga, that was a my nigga moment. I ain't say it because my daughter was right there. And I don't know if, you know, if me and him is necessarily at that level or not for a my nigga moment, but that's how I felt. I felt like my motherfucking nigga. Like this, thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Because this was clearly rehearsed. This was not the first time they had this conversation. I've been worried about it. I told y'all I was worried about it. And my people just take care of me. So shout out to stepdad for making sure that message got through. But anyway, we make our way to the hair salon. And when I get to the hair salon, they ask her, how would you like your hair? And she gave him the reply. And so they looked at me and I had to try to figure out which one I picked. Because again, they don't just say like two strand twist or braids or cornrows or something like that. It's like the Barbara Jean, the Roof, the Betty May, or something like it's crazy stuff like that. So I'm trying to remember which one it was. But we got it all straight. And eventually they shooed me out again. So I left and just, you know, crossed my fingers that everything was gonna be all right. And it was. Some other stuff happened in between that, but that's not necessarily a part of the chef release report. So we'll get to that later. But you know, I appreciate all of you for your thoughts and prayers and well wishes that this hair salon visit would go well. And it did. It went exactly as it was supposed to. I showed up and her hair was the way, you know, I paid for it to be. The charges that I was charged were exactly what I was expecting to pay. It actually felt like I came out on top because I forgot that I had to pay a deposit to book the appointment. So I had already put down like $25 or something. So the amount I was expecting to pay was, you know, that minus the 25. And so I felt like I came out $25 ahead. I didn't, but it felt that way. And you know, you gotta take your blessings where you can find them. But yeah, I come to pick her up and, you know, she's still happy. I asked her how it went. She said, easy peasy lemon squeezy. Another my nigga moment. Didn't say it, my little girl, but that's definitely how I felt walking out of there. Like, my nigga, there we go. We accomplished something. And then with all those positive vibes, with everything going exactly how it was planned to go, we come home, we chill, we play some more Mario Kart, we do our daddy-daughter stuff, we get up the next day, it's time to take her home. I'm ready to take her home because, like I say, I'm exhausted at this point. And getting her dressed, you know, I try to let her be independent, you know, go, you know, you gotta take your bath, your shower, whatever it is, you know, you got your lotions, she gotta wear deodorant these days, cause I don't know what is in the food, but at 7 years old, you know, she can be mad offensive sometimes if you let her just out in the heat sweating and shit. So, you know, she gotta put on her deodorant, her lotion, she gotta get ready. And I let her do all that by herself. Like, I'm just trying to monitor it. I usually have to go back and be like, look, you know, you don't understand ashy yet. You're only 7, but you're black. You get ashy. Gotta put this, when I say put the lotion on, I don't mean just don't play with it. Like, just put the lotion on. Like, just go crazy. I have whatever amount you think you're supposed to put on, go ahead, double that. Because, you know, you just haven't gotten to the point where you understand moisturizing. Like, you just, it's a foreign concept to you, but we're gonna get there. So I'm letting her do all that. And it's taking her a minute. So I come upstairs to check on her. And she lets me know there's some poop stuck in the toilet. And I was like, back-to-back weekends? Is this really what we're doing? So I think I'm actually still dealing with that right now. I had a couple of attempts to try to remove the situation. I won't gross y'all out any further, but it's real. It's real. That's, I don't know. I guess if she's wearing deodorant, she's also clogging toilets. It's crazy. But that's the Chef Elise report. We're going to get off of that real quick.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. So back to whatever else is going on with me. Like I said, man, I feel blessed, man. I'm back working someplace where I feel needed. I feel useful. People are happy to have me there, and I'm seeing the results of my presence. Things improve. I think other people are seeing, the things have improved since I've arrived. Building a rapport with the guys that I work with. And it's been real dope. So I feel blessed in that sense. I definitely feel blessed, to be able to drive back and forth from work. This is a new thing for me. Like I know for most people, just driving in general is just normal. You've been doing it forever. I haven't. And so to be able to take this job and not have to worry about how I was going to get there. And, and definitely the anxiety that came with knowing I was going to have to drive downtown every day was crazy. But I've managed it. I think I've gotten used to it. I know the route at this point. I could probably do it in my sleep. It's been no issue, even with these crazy ass Texas drivers that for whatever reason have no idea that their exit is coming until it's right there and they three lanes away. And now they got to just make crazy maneuvers to get to where they're going. And I don't, I'm a perfectionist. So it bothers me when people around me are not adhering to the rules and not behaving how they, in my mind, supposed to behave or should behave. Shit fucks with me. So you can imagine what traffic is like for me, because don't none of y'all give a shit about traffic laws when you got someplace to be. You just moving. And if you in the way, it's like, hey, I need to get over there. Here I come. Like that, that's just how y'all rock. But I survived it, and I feel blessed for that. And so I've been doing been at the job for about 2 weeks. Last Friday, after I got off work, the homie Chad wanted to go see Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle was in town. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go when he first brought it up to me. It's like, man, we went to see Kevin Hart not too long ago, and we got floor seats for that show, which were crazy expensive. And then I found myself sitting there like watching the Jumbotron or the big screens that were surrounding him and not the stage. Like he's right there, but I can see him way clearer. I can see him way clearer on those Jumbotrons that I can on the stage. And it's like, man, I could have waited for this to come on Netflix to look at it like that. But I could say I did it. It was a dope time. And so, Chad hit me up. He said, Dave Chappelle's coming to town. He's like, he trying to go. I'm like, all right, like we knew each other we met when, we was both living in a sober house. I think, I might have been working at McDonald's and he was working, cutting meat at a barbecue place or something like that. And, we didn't have much, and we was five dudes, in one house, just trying to make things work. Like we wasn't doing full on adulting at that point. So to see where we are now, I understand why when like stuff like this pops up, like he wants to do it, because it's like this is a show a show of the progress that I've made, that I'm now able to do stuff like that. So when he wants to hit up these shows, I'm like, all right, fuck it, let's go. So we bought the tickets, and I was happy. We got nosebleed seats this time. We did not sit on the floor because I just wasn't paying them. I love Dave Chappelle, but I've seen him before. He was in ACL a couple years ago, and my ex-wife, she was my wife then, surprised me with tickets to that show. And I felt like I had scratched Dave Chappelle off the bucket list. But to stunt with my homie Chad, we're gonna go see Dave Chappelle. So that's what I did Friday. I went out to the show, and it was a good show. Anderson .Paak came out and was like DJing for him. Go by DJ Pee Wee. And he was he was Anderson .Paak, full on in character, doing his thing. That was crazy. There's a lot of other good comedians that came on ahead of him. And then Dave Chappelle came on and did his thing, which was dope. But a couple things irked me. A couple things got to me. One, like, I'm trying to figure out how to, I don't want to get into like the whole, I don't want to be known as like the racial dude, but I just, white girls, y'all out of pocket and you got to stop. You got to relax. You got to chill. Like, everybody don't need to hear everything you have to say all the time. It's not that important. You're not that important. Let it go. Relax. Dave Chappelle had to like stop the show at one point, and shout out to him for doing so. But he had to stop the show for one point. And he said in the most polite but still Dave Chappelle way, I think he said like verbatim, like, he said, "Baby girl, I know you drunk, but nobody paid, nobody bought a ticket to hear anything you have to say." And it's like, facts. Appreciate you, sir. You are the true MVP. But it's like, y'all really got to relax. But they was killing me with the talking and the shouting and the woos for stuff that wasn't woo worthy. Like, that, just relax, just watch the show, laugh. That's all you got to do. The extra is not necessary. And then it was also the people who, I know what I paid to sit like four rows from the back. It was only four rows behind me or so, you know. So I know what the rest of you must have paid to be here. If you paid that much to see a show, watch the fucking show. Like, sit down. Sit the fuck down. I don't understand how people can't, like, adults can't manage their bladders or whatever it is to be able to sit in a seat for a certain amount of time. They have breaks. They had little sections where one comic, you know, steps off the stage and they playing some music before another comic. That's the time to go to the bathroom. That's the time to go get another drink. Or maybe don't get another drink, so you don't have to go back to the bathroom. But when the headliner is on stage, sit the fuck down. The amount of times I had to get up to let somebody pass and then come back, it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You got, and I understand there's some things, but if you got like Crohn's disease or whatever, I think that's something to make you go to the bathroom. Or if you know you have a small bladder or something, like, I don't, maybe you don't want to waste $300 or something, you know, to see a comedian. But then, or I don't know, or make sure your seats is at the end of the aisle. I don't know, but it's crazy to me the amount of movement that was happening during like the main event of the show. It was happening all night. It's like, goddamn, I gotta get up again. Oh, here you come again. There you go again. Like, you know, chill. Like, maybe that should be your last beer if the shits is running through you, homie. Like, that's enough. Watch the goddamn show. Like, it drove me crazier than I could. I don't know. It drove me insane. I really want to spaz out. I'm trying to tell y'all, I have not had the opportunity to spaz on somebody and just lose my shit. And it's a part of me deep down inside that just, it's like, yo, just one time. One time. I think I told you, I used to have my brother, still is my brother. We just haven't, you know, we haven't seen each other in a minute because he's back home in D.C. But we used to work at the Pentagon together. And every couple of days, like, he would just, we'd be one cubicle over and he'd be like, hey, Flan. Like, yo, what's up? He's like, hey, let me kick you one time. Like, what? He's like, man, I just feel like I need to kick somebody, man. Just let me kick you one time. I'm going to make sure you don't hit the ground or nothing like that. You know, I think in his mind, he knew he was going to knock me out. So he was like, I'm just going to let you know that, you know, you might be unconscious for a little bit. And I'm not going to let you hit the floor or hurt yourself any further. You're going to be all right. Like, I'm going to knock you out in the safest way possible. Like, trying to make me feel better about the possibility of losing consciousness. But this would happen, like, you know, on at least a weekly basis. And now I understand him. I never let him do it, by the way. Don't think I'm sitting here like, yeah, okay, man, go ahead. You know, if you need to, you know, get that frustration out, go ahead and take a swing. Like, no, it was like, I do, you know, still my brother though. But now I understand. Now I understand. Because I really just, if I can have a safe space to release some of this pent up anger. And I know people is like, man, take a go exercise, take a boxing class. No, it needs to be like organic, where I'm at a show and a motherfucker get up for the fifth time to go to the bathroom and I gotta move and they crossing, you know, my path and now I can't see what I paid to come see, that I could just like elbow them in the back of the head. Like, I need that. I needed to be organic like that. You know, I needed to be organic like that. And I haven't had that moment in a while. And it's fucking with me. But anyway, back to the blessed thing. Went to the show. Great show. We got out of there. That was a whole experience because Chad don't do like crowds and like having to wait for shit like that. And if you ever go to like these arenas type shows, like the getting out after it's over is the hard part. It's just lines of people, everybody trying to get to the same exit. They take your phones or they put your phones in little bags before you get there. And so when you're leaving out, you got to find somebody to unlock your phone from the bag. And that's a whole nother line. And you got to find, like, I think I work downtown now. So I left my car at the parking lot where I work, which was, you know, maybe a mile or so away from the venue. So we needed to get out and like find an Uber to get back to my car and then drive home from there. And that was a whole thing. Like, it, I could see he was on DEF CON. He was probably in the same mindset as me, because, you know, Chad is a reformed Incredible Hulk or whatever people call me. So I know he wanted to spaz and couldn't. And that was probably fucking with him too. So at least I know I'm not alone. And that's why certain people are my homies, because we share these struggles. But no, we got out of there. We made it home. And so the next day was the hair salon day. So while Elise was getting her hair done, the check oil light came on in my car. Like, you need to change your oil. And again, people, I'm telling you, like, this may seem like normal everyday life shit to you, but it's brand new to me. First time I've ever owned the car. And so this is the first time I ever had to get my oil changed. And it's like, God damn, like, I ain't know what to do, where to go. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm Googling shit, like, you know. And I don't like driving places that I don't know, especially downtown. I don't like not knowing where I'm going and trying to look for my turn and stuff while people is doing their crazy Evel Knievel shit in the street. So the anxiety was on 10. But I found a place, you know, I got my oil changed. And, you know, so I'm driving through downtown Austin. I'm feeling proud of myself. Because, you know, I did something that I wasn't necessarily prepared to do or thought I could do. And this is the first, scratch it off my list. Now I know how to go get an oil change. You know, shouts to me. I know that sounds weird, but fuck it. But now I'm struggling with Austin traffic again. I'm downtown and I'm trying to get through an intersection. I got a green light, but some people just make a little maneuver. And now they stuck out in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the intersection and caught me like in the middle of the crosswalk. Like, I thought I was getting ready to go and I couldn't go. So now I'm like in the middle of the crosswalk. Light turns red. I got to sit there for a little bit. So I'm pissed. I'm pissed. Like, I don't like being an obstacle. Like, I don't like being in the way. And now, like, I didn't plan on, like, I know where the crosswalk is and I was trying to stop before that. But these motherfuckers, you know, put me in this situation. So now y'all got to walk around my car. And, you know, you got to see everybody as they walk around your car, because they looking at you like, fuck is you doing right here? Like, you don't see where the line is. Or you might have a person to fuck around and touch your shit because they just trying to, you know, send a message. None of that happened. But I look over at the people that's, you know, walking past me or walking past my car through the intersection. And it's motherfucking Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, like, I just happened to be there. Lemony Snickers, I ain't want to be there. My plan was to have already been through this intersection and gone. And for whatever reason, I got stuck right there. And then here come motherfucker Dave Chappelle. No security, just chilling, walking through downtown Austin. He had the rest of the comics and stuff with him. They just doing their thing. And I feel fucked up telling the story because I ain't do nothing. Like, that's the whole story. Like, Dave Chappelle walked past my car. Like, that's all I got. That's all I got. I ain't say what's up. I ain't say hello. I had a little bag from the show the night before, like right next to me. I could have put that up on the window, but you know, I'm a dude, so I have a little thing about like going full groupie and shit in front of niggas. So I couldn't do it. I ain't saying that. I could have been like, yo, I'm from DC or something. I could have said something. We had time to conversate because he had to walk around my vehicle, but I didn't. So that's the whole fucking story. But it felt like you know, life again. Like some shit that I thought was inconveniencing me or putting me in a situation that I didn't want to be in. Now I'm in a situation where here comes Dave Chappelle. I ain't take advantage of it, but it is what it is. I still was put in that position. And I was put in that position because I was going to do something and overcoming an obstacle, overcoming a fear and an anxiety or something like that. And it was just, I don't know. It's just been a pattern recently that, like, you know, as I've been saying yes to a lot of things, and now I'm doing a lot of different shows, and, you know, the exposure is probably at an all-time high. I say my relationship with my daughter is great, you know. And a lot of this just comes from, you know, the things that I didn't think I could do, I was afraid to do, and just had to kind of step out on faith and do them. You know, I obviously got a pretty dope relationship with her stepdad, you know, because he's, you know, stepping in, making sure I don't get got again by the hair salon. Again, shouts to him, my nigga.
Nigga!
But, yeah, man, yeah, I think, you know, things are going well for me and I can't complain. And I feel really blessed these days to be able to do some of the things that I'm doing. I'm excited about going to Cleveland in a couple of days. I'm going, you know, meet up with some folks and meet some people for the first time. These same motherfuckers that just called me a pedophile. I think of all the things that I've been called, that was the one time where I was probably like, all right, y'all can chill. Y'all can chill though. But you can let that go. Nah, you cannot say it again. It would be nice if you didn't make that same joke. Like, that was the first time where I was like, the coon joint was close. But I think I found a way to, like, spin that. And, you know, and I probably mention it more than anybody else mentioned it these days because it did bother me. But the pedophile shit, I was like, God damn. Like, you really could not do it. We've been there. We done already told the joke. It was funny 5 minutes ago. It ain't so funny just no more. But it is what it is. I'm going to see these people in real life, and it's going to be what it's going to be. But, yeah. So, next week, hopefully, I will have an episode on time. I plan on recording some content while I'm in Cleveland, but just bear with me. Life is life, but I feel like big things are on the horizon.
Pause, nigga.
You know, whatever. But I feel like, you know, major things are coming. This show, my other shows, are only going to expand and get better, and I'm excited about it. On that note, you know, check out Opulence Radio, opulenceradio.com, or you can find the app in I know the Google App Store. I think it's also in the iOS App Store, but it's a lot of dope content on that platform. A lot of the people that I fuck with have shows there. We have shows together. I have the All on the Table Happy Hour. That's on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. That's a hip-hop discussion show. We review and rate music, or we just, you know, we talk about our hip-hop experiences, or we go through. Most episodes have a theme, and we go through songs, and it's just a dope vibe. It's a good time. Me, Raw Sass, Easy the General. I highly recommend it. If you want to see me in a different light, you know, in a different bag, definitely check out the Happy Hour, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., Opulence Radio. I also have my own show, The Kiss the Sky Hour. That is on Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Opulence Radio. That's where I play the music that I like. I don't have to take anybody else's considerations. You know, I don't have to think about anybody else. These are my playlists, the music that I like. I might discuss a little bit about the artist or what I was going through at the time or why these songs mean so much to me. But that's my show where I get to. Music is my drug. So that's the Kiss the Sky Hour. And then what else I got? Oh, yeah. I also have Relationship Britannica. That's on Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And that's with the homie Big Smash and Coach G. We're going through the alphabet. and we hitting all the letters and talking about words related to relationships and breaking it down for you. You're going to have a relationship encyclopedia by the end of this series. It's a great conversation. And who better to learn about relationships from than somebody who failed so miserably at one? So definitely, you know, go check out all that. But pretty much anytime you tune into Opulence, you're going to find something dope. And my voice will probably not be far behind. If you tune in and I'm not there, just keep listening. I'll be there soon enough. But with all that being said, I appreciate y'all for hanging out with me. I'm going to go ahead and let y'all out of here. Again, I'm sorry for being late on the episode, but, you know, it is what it is. But until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, Dave Chappelle is a fucking gangster. And I fucking love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could've had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.